I would just pastor. But as the Lord, as we are willing to do what God's call is upon our lives, then and keep our focus where the Lord wants us to have it, the Lord changes our plans. I didn't change my plans. The Lord changed my plans. But we have been so privileged, and we have been rejoicing in what God is doing and allowing us to serve Him. Take your Bibles with me and turn to Jeremiah chapter 33 for the next few moments, if we might. And we want to talk about prayer for just a little bit. I think as Christians, sometimes we've become so accustomed to praying that we forget really the full meaning of what it is to pray, why we pray, who it is we are praying to, how important prayer is in our Christian lives. In Jeremiah chapter 33, a very familiar portion of Scripture, verses 1 through 3 there, I want us just to look at those. We're going to focus on verse 3, but follow with me if you would, starting at verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 33. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it, the Lord is his name. And that verse 3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege that we have to be here tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of being able to present IPM here at Keystone, and for the warm welcome, and Father, for Pastor Wright, and Lord, just for the folks here. We just thank you so much for this ministry. And Father, we pray now that as we look into your word for the next few moments, that you would just help us to put aside any distractions, anything that's yet to take place maybe this evening, that Father, we may focus on the word and what you have for us here tonight. Give us wisdom, Father. Hide us behind the cross that we may see the Lord Jesus Christ and He alone, not just now, but at all times. Help us to keep our focus where we need to keep it, and that's on the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless our time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just some thoughts, folks, tonight from the Word of God on this subject of prayer that I believe is vital to every Christian's life and ministry. If I only ate 3 times a week, and you can look at me and know that I don't, I eat many more times than that, and so do you, I would have a problem. I would have a medical problem. You would have a medical problem. But isn't it interesting sometimes that as Christians, the only time that we get the Word of God, the only time maybe that we pray, the only time that we're in church is maybe Sunday morning, Sunday night, maybe Wednesday night. But I want us to think about with me, if you would, at verse 3, that as a child of God, the privilege that we have of praying, not just praying, but of praying with power. When you came to this building tonight, the lights were on, unless you were the first one here that had the responsibility of turning those lights on. You expected the lights to be on. The source of electricity was here. All they had to do was flip the switch and the lights came on. The power is there. You just had to tap into it. And so it is in the life of the believer. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. The whole point is that who are we calling upon in our Christian life? As Christians, I believe God wants us to exercise the privilege, and it is a privilege and an honor that He has given to me, that He has given to us as Christians, of praying, but not just praying, but praying with power upon our Christian lives. Now, if you look at verse 3 there's several words that we're going to be looking at as we go through here in the next few moments. But just 3 basic points I want us to think about tonight. And I'm going to use the word call and the word pray interchangeably. So whichever one I use, if you want to use the other word, you can. Call or pray. When I pray to God, I'm calling upon God. I'm talking to God. I can talk to God in a conversation style just like I'm talking to you here. Maybe not quite as loud. But that's the way we pray to God. We can talk to Him. We communicate with Him. He communicates with us through His Word. Now, if we don't open the Word of God, then how in the world do we expect God to communicate with us? But don't we always want to communicate with God, especially when we need something? Well, let me back up a little bit. Especially when we maybe want something. I believe, if you look there at verse 3, call unto me, number one, we need to pray for God's presence in our Christian lives. We need to have the presence of God upon us. Sure, I have the Holy Spirit indwelling me from the day I got saved as a little 7-year-old boy beside my mom's bed. Sure. But I need to have God's presence with me as I desire His presence and as He desires to be with me. When I was a child, if I would let go of mom's hand, it was very easy for me to wander off. When you had children that were real young and you went to the grocery store, then Junior was only 2 or 3 years old, you say, okay, you go over and look at the electronics, and when you're done, I'll be over in the food section. Did you do that? No. What did we do? We held onto their hand tightly, didn't we? Because we didn't want them to get lost or be taken or whatever may happen to them. We wanted them to be secure. We need to ask God and to have God's spiritual presence with us. That word call there in verse 3, it means to call forth or to grab hold of or to cry for help. And hence we see in the Word of God to pray. Men are said in the Word of God, and there's Scripture there for us in the book of Acts and in the book of Genesis and Romans, that men are said to call upon the name of the Lord. I can remember when Caleb was real young. He wasn't too much shorter than me, but he was shorter than me. He's not shorter than me now. All 3 of our boys are taller than us. But anyway, there are bodyguards when we go places. Caleb was real young, and I was leaving to go to the store just down the road from the house. And for some reason, I don't know, it's been so long ago, but Caleb wanted to go with me, and I would not let him go that day. He had just learned to ride a bike not long before. He was riding very well. And if you've ever been to our place, we have a pretty long driveway, a dirt driveway that gets down to Route 259, which is a 2-lane highway, but it's a feeder road to Corridor H. It goes over to Moorfield, and there's a bunch of tractor and trailers and everything now on there. And so he got it in his mind that I'm going to follow Dad to the store on my bicycle. So I got in the car and proceeded down the drive. I had no idea until I got home. And I proceeded down the driveway and proceeded on to the store, and little to my knowledge until I got home. What had happened was Caleb got on his bike and proceeded to follow me down the driveway because he was going to go to the store, even because he wasn't going to take no for an answer. And he rides down there the road, and in the meantime, Mandy had seen him going down to the road from the house, and as she was so far away that she couldn't get to him in time to get him, but he proceeded out onto Route 259 heading north in the southbound lane on his bicycle. It's but by the grace of God that a guy was coming in a pickup truck, stopped, got out of his truck, picked bike Caleb and all up and set him back over the ditch, and there was a bunch of muck in the ditch. But this guy stepped right through it and set our son back on solid ground in safety. In the meantime, what was happening was, as Mandy was hollering for Caleb as she was running down the driveway to get to him before she even saw this guy coming, the word call, to grab hold of, to call forth, to cry for help. Now look at God wants us to get hold of Him, but He also wants to get hold of us. And so she was calling, literally yelling for Him, as she was running down the drive towards Him to get hold of Him and bring Him back to safety, although God took care of that before she got there. God wants us to get hold of Him. God desires for us to be in His presence just as He desires to be in our presence. We call upon God. We ask God for things that we need and things that we want. And things that we want sometimes aren't the things that we need. But we call upon God, and then we begin to say, okay, well, God, I'm going to help You out, because You haven't answered me soon enough. And then I find myself, or you may find yourself, answering for God because God seemingly takes too long to satisfy me. You ever done that? Don't raise your hand. We've all probably done that in our lifetime, haven't we? But He says, call unto me. Call unto me. The word unto is as if You're calling, as I was saying a few minutes ago, calling as you are running, calling as you are approaching unto me, as you're coming near to me. We need to ask God for His spiritual presence in our lives. If I ask for a showing of hands, which I'm not, but I'm going to still ask the question, I wonder how many times we have, as Christians, tried to go it alone and do it ourselves in our Christian lives. And how many of those times that we have tried that have we just totally blown it and we've messed up royally? We need to have God's power upon our lives. But I think not only do we need to call for God's spiritual presence, pray for His spiritual and have that spiritual aspect in our lives. Let me give you the second thing of part one of the first point here in praying for God's presence. And that is simply this: call or pray for God's physical presence. No, I'm not going charismatic. But here's what I'm saying. If we can put it this way. I had to use that term physical because at that point I couldn't think of another one just, you know, to make it work. Look what God says. Call unto me, and He says, I will answer thee. Now, that personal pronoun I is not me as I'm reading it. It's God. God says, I will answer you. The answer that God gives may not be the answer that we desire, but He will answer us. He may answer us and say, no, I love you too much. Or He may say, no, not now. Or He may say, yes, I thought you'd never ask. But then He might say, yes, and here's more. But the point is, God will answer our prayers. That word answer is to heed or to pay attention to or to begin to respond to. God, I believe God desires to answer your prayers and my prayers. I believe He does. And I believe that one of the main reasons that God does not answer our prayers is because of me. I am the one who limits God's blessing upon me. You see, God desires to answer our prayers. You know what? You ever go to God? I hope not, but in our humanity, we may at some point. We may not have prayed it, but we may have thought it. But God knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart, so He knows everything about us. But have you ever thought about this? Going to God and saying, God, I don't really know if You realize... ... whatever it may be. But you know what's great? As I heard a preacher say one time, he said, we've got to realize as Christians that nothing has ever occurred to God. Nothing has ever occurred to God. The physical presence that I'm talking about may come in the aspect of the very fact that you can feel God's hand upon your life as a result of other people, other believers praying on your behalf. I can remember years ago when Dad was sick back in 2000, and we were, of course, still here teaching at the time. And, of course, prayer requests had gone out and so on and so forth, and folks were praying for my dad. Dad had a rare form of leukemia, so they say. I don't know even today if I still believe it or not. But they said he had a rare form of leukemia. They took him into the hospital, and many of you know somewhat of the history of this, but they took him into the hospital. They said, you have to have chemotherapy, IV chemotherapy, for 24 hours a day for 7 days. Now, Dad got, in 7 days... what an average cancer patient would get in 13, I think it's 13 weeks. Yeah. And I believe that it just literally burned him up inside. So Dad was in the hospital for about a month. He began bleeding internally. They did not know where the blood was coming from. There was nothing they could do for him. He lost his appetite. He would not eat. He said, I want to go home. Dad was saved. He knew where he was going. He said, okay, let's take him home. So they said, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give him enough blood to get him home, get it comfortable for a day, for 2 days to a week max. Now, this is man's diagnosis, or man's prognosis. You know, this is what man is saying. And so anyway, we'll do it that way. Okay, that's not a problem. We had Dad transported home. We get him home. A couple days later, he stops bleeding. Do I believe in miracles? Sure. Why not? I see God working. He gets his appetite back and begins to eat. What was to be 2 days to a week turned into 2.5 years. The doctors were wrong. God was right. Just a few weeks ago, my mom had a stroke, as probably some of you, if not a lot of you, may know. June the 30th, she had a stroke. We took her to the hospital. We transported her, as many of you know, work for fire and EMS when we're home. So we transported her, took her into the hospital. We were well within the 3-hour window for a stroke patient. And the doctor came in. He said, listen, he said, we can give her the clot buster medicine. She's a candidate for it. What's the other end of that is, if you don't do anything, you have a vegetable for the rest of her life. She's 79 years old. She's saved. She knows where she's going. Well, really, at that point, it was no option. I was a power of attorney, medical power of attorney, and so on and so forth. And I said, well, let's just go with it and give her the TPA. She had lost all the function on her right side, and she could not speak to us. When she was lying there on the floor, she could answer us by squeezing her hand, squeezing our fingers, but she could not talk to us. That's one of the hardest things for me through all of the stroke process was the fact that here lays my mom looking me in the eyes and can't talk to me and can't communicate. We took her into the hospital. He said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take her down for an MRI. And before we go for the MRI, give her that. We're going to give her the TPA. It wasn't any more than 20 minutes to a half an hour that she was back. She could move her right side and talk. Do I give credit to the medicine? Yeah, in a sense, because the Lord gave the doctors the wisdom to come up with the medicine to give to the patient. Do I believe in miracles? I most certainly do. But you know what? God has given us a peace that passes all understanding. To go back to what I was going to say just a minute ago about my dad's funeral, is I could feel, I had more peace during my dad's funeral than I did anybody else of my church people in the 15 years that we were there or any other people in our community. And the simple reason was because I could feel the power of God's hand upon me from God's people praying. That's what I'm talking about. And I'm sure that there's probably folks here tonight that can say that exact same thing. God says, I will answer. I will answer you. That's how it may come. But you know what? If we're not focused where we ought to be, we may not have that. But I like that feeling. I like to know that there's folks praying for me. A couple years ago, Mom had colon cancer, and they did a resection. I had emails coming in from our missionaries, from our national church planters overseas, telling me in their language, and it was a translation underneath, that they were praying for us and praying for my mom. They didn't know my mom. Some of these guys I have never met yet. But isn't it great to know that we have family all around the world? Spiritual family. Number 2, pray for stability. Look what God says there. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. That word show, to stand out boldly opposite to manifest or to announce by word of mouth or to declare. The word mighty is interesting. It's that which is normally inaccessible to us. Hebrews 11:1 says what? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Stability. We need stability in our Christian lives in this world that we live in today. Colossians chapter 1, if you flip over there with me for just a moment, Colossians chapter 1, and look with me at verse 23. And notice what the Apostle Paul says. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made minister, he says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. There's a parallel verse in the New Testament that Paul wrote as well in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. But be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Steadfast. The word grounded is the idea of a foundation. The word settled is the aspect of not being able to be moved. And we need to pray for spiritual stability in our Christian lives. There's a lot of junk out there that's coming our way that is nothing but junk. And we better be wise and discerning about it. And the only way that we can be is through the Word of God and through your pastor and the teaching that you get here at the church. Pray for physical stability. Psalm 1:3, the psalmist says that we'll be like trees planted by the rivers of water. We'll be grounded, folks, in our convictions and in our service for the Lord as we grow in grace, 2 Peter 3:18, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I mean, really, who is it that we serve? We say that we serve God. If we say that we serve God, then to whom do we pray when we pray? I think it's interesting, if you've ever seen the movie Sheffy, how Sheffy talks to the minister. You know, the guy that comes up to him and says, "You're not licensed to preach." Sheffy never asked for a license, did he? He didn't need one. His authority came from the God above. But the classic part to me is there, you know, that he was seen praying up in the mountains and you know, seen mumbling and all of this stuff according to this guy. And Sheffy just simply turns to him and says, "To whom do you talk to when you pray?" To whom do we talk to when we pray? We have to be single-minded. James tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A tree's single focus is to grow strong and glorify its creator. What's your focus? You know, the philosophy of the world today and of our society is look out for number one. And what they're saying is look out for yourself. Of course, that's a wrong philosophy. Our single focus is to be 2 Peter 3:18, growing in grace, growing strong and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and focusing on Him. To whom do we pray? Go back with me to the Old Testament, to Psalm 81. Psalm 81. Number three, I think we need to pray for spiritual perception. And the interesting thing, the Lord spoke to me as I was preparing the message and the aspect of prayer and how important prayer is in our lives. Do I forget? You better believe I forget. I realize when I forget too. Because when I forget, things don't go right. But when I, you say, well, when you pray, you mean everything goes right? Well, it goes right like it's supposed to go. It may not be exactly the way I think it should go, but it's much more pleasing and it's much more joyful and easier to live the Christian life when my prayer life is on par like it ought to be for God. I think we need to pray for spiritual perception. Look what he says there. If you got your finger in Psalms, just listen. Call unto me and I will answer thee. And show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Remember the word show? To stand out boldly opposite to manifest, to announce, to declare. Mighty, that which is normally inaccessible. But then I got thinking about those things, mighty things which thou knowest not. And those two terms together, it's interesting. Talk about the fact that those things that we can't ascertain properly through our vision. Through our normal vision. Again, going back to Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How many of you like elevators? Oh, I expect to see more hands than that. I didn't really see any. How many of you don't like elevators? Well, no, okay, I had 4 or 5 hands, but nobody raised their hand like they like elevators. How many of you could care less? Yeah. I can take or leave them, but our youngest son, Timmy, hates them. So what we do a lot of times when we get on them is we'll jump up and down. And he's 6 feet tall. And he just kind of turns white. We get on there and push the button, expect it to take us to the floor desired, don't we? But in this aspect of spiritual perception, I firmly believe that God desires to manifest Himself to you and me as His children. I believe that God wants to give to us that which is normally inaccessible to us in the human realm that we can't really see in through our physical eyes. And as we talked about earlier, and I'm sure that if you had time and we had testimony time that you could say and the things that God has done in your life and the answers to prayer that God has given in your life down through the years would be many. And we all believe in miracles, don't we? But I think as Christians, we need perception to see several things here in our Christian lives. We need the spiritual perception to see the lost. I mean, is that not what missions is all about? The greatest missionary that ever lived was who? The Lord Jesus Christ, who left His home in heaven perfect to come to a cursed and dying world to save you and me, knowing full well that when He came, He was going to be ridiculed and mocked and made fun of and literally spat upon and physically abused and yea to the death on an old rugged cross and shed His blood, in which His love kept Him there because He loved us so much. The greatest missionary that ever lived. And you know what? No matter what we do in service for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we could never meet or compare to what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me. We ought to count it a privilege when we have the opportunity to talk to the lost. But we need that spiritual perception to talk to them, to know the lost. Whenever we walk up to somebody, I have learned over the years that they are a potential lost person until I know of their salvation. We need the perception to see the lost and have not just that, but have a genuine compassion for them to give them the gospel. We need the perception to see the need, yeah, of the homeless in need of shelter and food and clothing and a place to lay their head at night. But folks, they need the Word of God. And when we go and we try to give the gospel to others and we walk down the street and we may have just laughed at a dirty joke of one of our friends that was telling us, and we turn around and we try to witness to somebody and they hurt us, what kind of an example am I going to be, or are you going to be, trying to win somebody for the Lord when we just finished listening to a joke or took the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in vain? Well, I did my witnessing today. We need the perception to see and to do and to act. We need the perception to see the stress, I believe, of the pastor and his wife and family. We need the perception and to do and to minister to them and to help them. We need the perception to see the needs of the missionary, both homeland as well as foreign, and to be able to minister to them and pray for them and help them, whether they're here or abroad, for the service of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we need to see and have the perception to see the needs of one another. Let me ask you a question. I would like a show of hands. Pastor, don't turn around. How many of you expect your pastor to pray for you? How many of you expect your pastor to pray for you? You better put your hand up. I expect my pastor to pray for me. Your pastor expects every single one of you to pray for him as well on a daily basis. Okay, this is just for this side of the church. You guys are... I'll be over there in a minute. We need the perception to see, folks, that we need to see the needs of our Christian brothers and sisters in Christ on that side of the aisle. And we need to pray for them on a daily basis. Folks, on this side, same thing. To whom do we go to when we pray? We expect others to pray for us. We have needs and we have things that we want others to pray for us. But how often do we pray for one another? If you want unity in the church, try praying for somebody you don't like very well. And while you pray for them, genuinely try to be mad at them. It doesn't work. You can't do it. We need to see the needs of one another physically, emotionally, spiritually. We need one another to pray for each of us. Prayer is vital to each and every believer. I came across this saying, I do not know. if J. Edgar Hoover was saved or not. I have no idea. I'm reading the life of Billy Sunday right now. And Billy Sunday had this excerpt in there. And it's interesting that J. Edgar Hoover, who of course was the director of the FBI years ago, but here's a quote from him. I don't know when he said it or where he said it, but here's what he said. The spectacle of a nation praying is more awe-inspiring than the explosion of an atomic bomb. The force of prayer is greater than any possible combination of man-made or man-controlled powers because prayer is man's greatest means of tapping the infinite resources of God. God desires to show Himself, and let's not be the ones to limit Him to do it. Get alone with God. And as you get alone with God and you have your prayer time, remember why you are praying. Remember to whom you are praying. Remember what you're... I heard a preacher say a couple years ago, he said this. He said, how big your God is will determine how big your prayers will be. How big is your God? How big your God is will determine how big your prayers will be. Let me leave you this, as Samuel Chadwick said many, many years ago, and I'm done. Listen to what he said. The one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest, that He may send forth laborers into His harvest. Psalm 81, in verse 10. Look what the psalmist says. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Catch the last part. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. You ever have anybody ever have baby birds? You know, the robins will come and build their nests in the spring, and oh, they're so cute. And the moms and the girls go out and look at, oh, they're so cute, three little speckled eggs in there. It doesn't matter if they're in the gutter, in the dryer vent, or where they are. And those little baby bird eggs, after a while, they'll hatch and become three little baby birds, and they are the ugliest things you've ever seen. They don't have feathers. They have hair, and it's ugly. But when the mama bird comes with the food and she hits the side of the nest, what's the first thing that happens? When she hits the side of the nest, the mouths fly open, right? And the heads disappear. They're all mouths. And the first one that does it is usually the one that gets most of the good old regurgitated food that mom brought back to them. When was the last time we were like that with God? Open thy mouth wide, God says, and let me fill it. When was the last time we really had the power of God in our lives like God desires for us to have? And as I look at the great days of old when the great evangelists were there and preaching in the great tabernacles, and the power of God moved not just in the tabernacle, but on the whole town, and the saloons closed down, and the prostitutes went their way. People say, well, our nation is ruined. We are on a precipice, on a snowballing downhill decline so fast that if something doesn't take place, we're going to lose it. Does that mean that God's not able? No, He is. But here's it. This is it. Are we doing our part? Pray ye, the Lord of the harvest. Father, we thank You tonight for Your love to us. We thank You for Your word. Thank You, Father, for the very fact that your convicting power touches each of us in our own lives and whatever various needs we may have. Father, we pray tonight that we may look to You, maybe with a different eye now in our prayer life. Not as just a time when we sit down and bless the food and say a prayer before we go to sleep, but where we get quality time with God. In Jesus' name.